Welcome to Generations. My friend Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. So is Dave Buhner, and we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. Quickly, folks, let's hit the headlines this morning and we'll get on with things. Sales of existing homes dropped for a fifth straight month in July, falling to the slowest pace in nearly 5 years, while home prices fell for the record 12th consecutive month. And also on the headlines, recession looms large for American economy, dollar collapse, stock market sell-off looms. The Fed apparently is in a dilemma. This, according to one of the articles, if it lowers the Fed fund target rate, the dollar will suffer on world currency exchanges, and a dollar sell-off will trigger a new stock market sell-off. Well, if the Fed holds or raises rates to support the dollar, it will most certainly prompt a massive stock market sell-off. So it looks like we're between a rock and a hard place again. Dave, I think we've got to go ahead and trust in God and keep his commandments, whereas everybody thought the Fed would keep us all healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Maybe we should get back to fearing God and keeping his commandments.
Well, the Fed attempts to micromanage the economy by micromanaging the money supply. And they can raise it a quarter point or drop it a quarter point so that we don't have too much inflation and we don't have recession. At least that's the theory. And yet, what God says is go out and take dominion and be productive. You know, so if we would actually have flat interest rates and had them for 20 years and we worked on being productive, would the economy and the people be better? That's an interesting question.
And an economic system based on the fractional banking approach, and that is encouraging debt all the time, is certainly not in accordance with what God said was said about debt, and that is that debt effectively is an evil. And, you know, somebody asked John Maynard Keynes and said, you know what would happen in the long run if we just went with your fractional reserve system? He says, well, in the long run, we're all dead. So that was his answer to it. Unfortunately, in the long run, you know what? Eventually, the piper does invoice. What's that stack of papers in your inbox there, Dave?
In the long run, my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren are still alive. Yeah. And they're the ones that have to face this mess. When we went off the gold standard, we inflated the currency. Right now, China is holding a lot of that debt. And they are threatening in sort of an aggressive way that they might collect on that debt. And if that happens, the dollar will most certainly tumble. And we could expect, at least in the West, a large depression.
Ladies and gentlemen, the piper has invoiced, and that's what we're seeing in the inbox over there. And what we need to do is get back to God's Word. Let's trust in God. Let's keep His commandments. Let's take our ethical system from God's Word and build our economic systems on that. Well, a couple other things in the headline. The fattest state in the country is now Mississippi. I guess we all knew that, though. Parents, now, you know, we all knew that parents were the answer, and improving parenting is a significant thing. That could improve education and everything else. Well, New York City agrees with that. They're going to pay poor parents now to actually be good parents. Mayor Michael Bloomberg has raised about $40 million from the Rockefeller Foundation elsewhere to pay families a modest amount for small tasks. You know, getting your kid a library card, you get $50, or taking your kid down to the dentist, they'll give you $100. Now, of course, all the dental fees were paid for by the state. But,
oh, and Michael Bloomberg's not paying for it?
No, he's not paying for it.
Oh, for a minute there, I thought he was very, very generous.
He's going to help out, though, with the parents who actually do the act of taking their child to the dentist. They'll get to $100 for that.
Michael Bloomberg's paying that $100.
Yeah, he'll pay the $100
himself.
Mm-hmm. Him and the Rockefeller Foundation. They put their money together and they figure if we can get parents to do the right thing, we can do it by paying them. Well, apparently it's really worked in Mexico. That's what people are saying in other poverty-stricken countries. So if it works there, it'll work here too. Now, Dave, how do you get people to be good parents? I mean, think about it. How does that happen?
Well, that's an interesting question. Innately, God has made mothers to love their children, to nurture them. Innately, God has taught parents to love their children. In fact, God has modeled himself as a father. And John says you love because God first loved you. If you've embraced the love of God as a father, you're going to love your children as well. They're very dear and sweet. And, you know, there is a certain part of your conscience that knows as a father, your job is to provide and to protect and to nourish those children. But, of course, we in our Western postmodern age have decided that children are not of the family, but of the state. And therein lies a big problem, because the state cannot, not simply they don't, but the state cannot love children.
Well, the ironic thing here is the state is trying to encourage parents to love children enough to take them to the dentist if they need dental care. Dave, I wonder if it has something to do with loving God. I wonder if it has something to do with fearing God. If people feared God and loved God, maybe they would love their children and not abort them. Just a thought. But I'm not sure that we could get the state to pay parents to teach their children to love God, or to pay parents to love God themselves. I'm just not sure the state is capable of that. Maybe we're getting back to the basic biblical worldview, and that is the state cannot fix these problems. These problems can only be fixed by people coming to grips with their relationship with God Himself. Maybe we should just preach the Word and pray for the Spirit's regenerating force in the hearts of men, but I'm not sure Michael Bloomberg would agree with that.
I'm not sure he would, but his aspirations are for president, not for grandfather.
Well, folks, before we take a break here, I'd like to bring out one more headline. Boy Scouts have been forced to make public their abuse records. The previously private records show the Boy Scouts have ejected at least 5,100 adult leaders nationwide for sexual abuse allegations since 1946. The files reveal that despite efforts to keep potential abusers from joining, the problems persist. In the past 15 years alone, the organization has kicked out leaders for such allegations at a rate of once every other day. Now, that may not be a lot for the size of the organization, but there have been some horrendous cases recently where the courts have awarded the victim some significant awards. And, well, ladies and gentlemen, today I think we want to look at preventing child abuse. Certainly in these cases, Dave, these are significant crimes. They're capital crimes, according to the Word of God. You know, if you've got a scoutmaster out there abusing little boys in the ways that have been described in these news stories, and I don't want to read what happened, but they're most definitely capital crime cases. And what's sad, of course, is our courts don't even pay attention to these sorts of things.
Well, what's ironic is when you say Boy Scouts and lawsuit, I automatically think about them being sued for not allowing perverts to become leaders, to become scoutmasters. And what you're telling me here is that some of them have slipped through the net and have gotten to be in areas of influence over these boys, and they have ruin some lives.
It's amazing, Dave. On the one hand, you have some news stories that say, hey, we've got to get the perverts into the scoutmaster positions, and then you have news stories that talk about how badly these homosexual sodomites are perverting little boys. So you can't have it both ways, my friends. The Bible says it's a perversion for a man to engage in this kind of activity with somebody of the same sex. And it's a perversion, it's a capital crime. The Bible makes that very, very clear. And yet, as long as our systems ignore biblical law as the principle for life, then we're going to see more and more of these problems. But I want to speak to parents today and look at how parents can prevent child abuse. Obviously, parents everywhere care enough about their children to not want these sorts of things, these horrific things, to happen to their children. And when they do happen, they really affect these kids for life. And, you know, Dave, we've heard about the stories from the public schools and the Catholic schools and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are reasons why parents want to protect their children from these sorts of situations. We're going to talk about that next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
Welcome back to Generations Friends. This is Kevin Swanson with you today talking about protecting children. Important topic. Jesus thinks it's important. He says if a parent doesn't protect his child from being stumbled, it'd be better for a millstone to be hanged around his neck and be drowned at the bottom of the sea. And I think Jesus is serious about this, Dave. This is one reason why we homeschool our children. Now, in general, Dave, in general, I would say that parents love their children more than anybody else in the world. In general, parents should love their children more. In general, parents should love their children more than anybody to whom they might delegate some part of their education. Isn't that obvious? Shouldn't that be obvious to the average person out there? You delegate an education, you delegate schooling, you delegate whatever, character building, to somebody else, whether it be a priest or a Sunday school teacher or a scoutmaster or whatever, those people will not love your children as much as you do. Dave, shouldn't that be obvious?
Well, it should be obvious. It should be obvious that the bond that a mother and a father have with their child is unique amongst all the other relationships a child is likely to have. There's no other relationship like that. No other person carried that child around in her womb and knit it and nursed it and changed its diapers and taught it to walk and put up with fussy nights. The more you put into something, the more you love it.
Now, I know there are exceptions to the rule, Dave. I mean, we know there are people who kill their babies. We know that. There are mothers and fathers out there that kill their babies. And there are mothers and fathers out there that not only kill their babies, but also abuse their children sexually and physically. We know this sort of thing. If a nation is allowed to abort their children, certainly a nation is going to be out there abusing their children. I mean, there are parents that do not love their children. That we know that, too. But I just say, in general, parents love their children more than those to whom they will delegate the education of their children. So this is one of the reasons why I homeschool my children. I want to protect them. And my gut feel is the average teacher out there is not going to love them and protect them as much as I would. Dave, does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. Nobody else loves them as much as you. Nobody else is in a position to protect them as much as you. Nobody's around them as much as you, especially in the early years. Of course, you're going to love them more.
And Dave, I wonder why there are fathers out there that would send their children to schools that have far more violence in those schools than the places in which the dads work. You know, does that make any sense at all? Ladies and gentlemen, does that make sense? That a dad should send his 15-year-old girl into a school where there's an arrest a day, and a police officer in Colorado Springs told me the average high school down in Colorado Springs to get an arrest a day down there. You know what? Most corporations don't have an arrest a day. So you got fathers out there sending their children into a war zone where there's far more violent activities, far more evil stuff happening than what you would find in the average corporation. Big question is, should you ever allow your son to be part of the Boy Scouts? And Dave, I'd say yeah. I'd say yeah, but boy, you better be involved. You better be there. You better be with your son while he's in the Boy Scouts. So, you know, if there's 18 sons down in Boy Scouts, I think there ought to be about 18 fathers, roughly, unless a father has two sons. So I think there ought to be just about as many fathers as there are sons at Boy Scouts.
Absolutely. If a father's not involved in the Boy Scouts, then he doesn't know what's going on. He can't protect his child. And we know that the company of fools leads to foolishness.
Yeah.
And what's going to offset that but the presence of somebody who's wiser, like a father?
And I know the Boy Scouts have required two adults to be there at the same time. I think that's a recent rule that they've imposed. And so they're doing their best that they possibly can. But here, what we're encouraging folks today is parental involvement. Parents need to be there. Parents need to be connected. And I know that you want to delegate everything. You're so busy trying to make $150,000 a year and keep six cars in your garage and maintain that 6,000 square foot home and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, why don't you simplify your life a little bit? Why don't you put a little bit more investment into relationships, into the father-son relationships and the mother-daughter and father-daughter relationships than you put into seeking a material well-being that's far above anything the world has ever known in the past. Dave, it's a question of values here, and I think what we're encouraging is parents to really connect and really get involved in their children's upbringing.
And parents are going to have to be brave as they get involved. I'm looking right now at a story of a guy named David Parker, a father in Massachusetts who had a kindergartner. In that school in Massachusetts, they were doing some homosexual indoctrination training. He went to the school board, a good concerned parent fighting for the protection of his child. He objected. He was hauled off in handcuffs. He appealed to a federal court And listen to what the judge says. It's extraordinarily scary. The rights of religious freedom and parents' control over the upbringing of the child would undermine teaching and learning. You get that, Karen? Your values will keep the public schools from teaching and your child from learning.
The end result of that worldview, Dave, is way more abuse. We've already seen that in the public schools. I mean, you got stories right and left all over the place where teachers are abusing students. We're just going to see more and more abuse in the current system unless parents really do get involved and get more involved in the education of their children. Dave, does it sound like two worldviews in conflict here?
Yeah, it's really a war of worldviews. In the Middle Ages, we had a war between Islam and Christendom. Now we're having a war between Christianity and radical secularism. And if Christians don't engage the battle, they will lose the next generation. They will lose their children and their grandchildren. In fact, studies are showing that we're losing between 80 and 90% of our churched children by the time they graduate college. Those odds don't work very good for me.
Talking about protecting your children from abuse today on this program, folks. And I think parents really need to understand and teach the basic rules of modesty and accountability in the home. This is critical. And why do we do this? Why do we teach the basic rules? And early on, we don't have to get into all the details of sexuality and all that when your children are young. You just tell them, hey, you're supposed to be clothed, and you don't want to show other people parts of your body. This should be obvious. You should be teaching a child by the time he's 2, 3, 4 years old that he needs to be clothed. And this is one reason why we don't want our children running around naked in public. And we're going to make sure children are clothed before they present themselves to others in the house, even among the family. So we want our children to understand that modesty is important and to know why modesty is important, because God says it's important. So if they've got those rules down firmly, Dave, if somebody's out there tempting them to sin in some way or to force them into some kind of a situation that they should not be in, our children should know that that's a wrong situation and this is an evil person. Now, one of the things that we need to teach our children is that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And now, Dave, now we're talking about a serious worldview conflict with humanism here, right? We need to teach our children that people by nature are not good. They are evil. People are evil. People are wicked. And, you know, one of the most dangerous doctrines in the world, Dave, is that man is basically good. This is the sort of thing taught by Karl Marx. It was taught by Stalin. It was taught by every evil monster that has ever lived. And the end result of this doctrine that man is basically good and that man can centralize as much power as possible and a dictator can control as much as he can possibly want to control has led to some of the most outrageous deaths that we have seen since the beginning of the world. Humanism has led to hundreds of millions of people being slaughtered because of this doctrine that man is to be trusted, that man with power is to be trusted because man is effectively good. And Dave, you know what? This is all over the place. eBay, all right? This is eBay. This just, my wife showed me this morning. Here it is. We appreciate you as an active member of our community. This came directly from eBay to our email account. With your positive feedback, you reinforce the eBay value that, quote, people are basically good. There it is. People are basically good. That's one of their five value statements. It's all over the place. The public schools teach it. Everybody teaches it, or practically in our society, that man is basically good. But what the Bible says, nuh-uh. Man is, his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I think of Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible teaches. And yet, when our children get the idea that man is basically good, man is basically to be trusted, guess what? They get in way, way more trouble.
And the question is, does anybody really know what good is? How do you determine what is good? When we say man is good, well, what is good? Jesus was called good teacher, and what does he say? Only God is good. So if God is the standard of good, then we know what it is. But as soon as man becomes the standard of good, then we end up with the closing of the book of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king, that is no law standard, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And you will have millions and millions of people dying, whether it be in the womb, or whether it be in their old age, or whether it be just because they're Jewish. People will die because man will think that's good.
That's right. And the moment you say man is basically good and man is to be trusted, you give him power. You give him a lack of accountability, a lack of balance of powers that is inappropriate for him. This is why we emphasize accountability all the time on this program. We talk about the buddy system in our home. We want our children to be together with other people all the time. We want them to be accountable all the time. We don't live alone. And basically, we're teaching our children, Dave, not to trust anybody. And that's okay. And we're not talking about paranoia here. We're talking about reality. We're talking about a people that have been utterly corrupted by sin. Bible says, heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let's teach our children, whatever you do, don't trust anybody. Understand the tendencies of men. Just like water runs downhill, men, if they're not restricted, they're going to run to evil. It will happen. If there's no accountability in their lives, something bad will happen. And there are a lot of people out there that are shocked when some neighbor who sits around taking a look at porn all day long winds up molesting their child. Well, why are you shocked? That's what happens. Water runs downhill. Men tend to evil. That's the world we live in. And Dave, we've got to teach our children this.
And not only do we have to teach them not to trust others, but we need to teach them not to trust themselves, because they are fallen creatures. Their intellect is fallen. Their emotions are fallen. They can even do right things for the wrong reasons. I'm reminded of the prophet Zechariah when he was asked after the people returned to Israel whether or not they should keep the fasts. And God replies through the prophet Zechariah, when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? He repeats it. See, we can do the right things, but we can do it for the wrong reasons. And this should drive us not to trust our own hearts.
That's right. It should drive us to trust in God and God alone for salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a biblical worldview. So what we need to do is teach our children not to trust their own hearts, not to trust in the hearts of others, but to trust in the living God alone and to trust in Christ, who will save us and regenerate us and sanctify us and wash us from our sins. So here's what we do. We create an environment of accountability in our homes, in our churches. We don't let people be alone with other children, for example. We are careful to make sure there's a buddy system there, and there is a willingness to bring forward the issue of sin when there is sin. And Dave, sometimes I think there are some families and churches that create an environment in which it would be shameful to confess sin, and that's not good either. So people wind up getting into the habit of hiding their sin under a cloak of good manners and all the rest. But we want to make sure there's the environment of communication open such that we can bring out sin. And we can, yes, raise some accusations. Yes, we can bring out some issues that exist in the lives of others. And then we approach them in a loving way and bring their sin to their cognition. And also, hopefully, an environment in which we can confess sins and our children are open and they can confess sins before things get really, really bad in their lives. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we protect our children from abuse. And this is how we protect our children from running down the path to sin and some serious sin in their lives that could affect them for life. Folks, you've been listening to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And if you want a news magazine that deals with family issues and worldview issues, we have a free magazine we ship out on a quarterly basis. Just go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on free news magazine, and you can enjoy that magazine. You have been listening to Generations, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com. This book addresses many of the issues close to the heart of this program: the power of relationships, the preeminence of character and faith, and the importance of getting the right worldview in education. Get your copy of Upgrade today.